All right.
So we are now into spoiler territory.
Spoiler town.
We get ready to discuss episode 4 of Firefly, titled Shindig. And I bring over now, Casey, my pad that has all of my notes in.
It stuns me to hear you say pad and not be referring to iPad. And yet I know your proclivity for paper and whatnot, so it's funny. You live in two worlds, my friend.
I like to take digital notes, but I have a specific notebook that I really like to use, and I don't get to actually write in this notebook very much. It's a very nice paper. So I like to break it out. So I now have all of my notes for our Firefly episodes in this notebook, along with many other notes and scribbles. It's where I do all of my Mike at the Movies notes, which is a good segue to mentioning that, in case you didn't know, over at theincomparable.com, there is a special URL. It's not a secret, but if you go to theincomparable.com/Mike, we spoke about this before, all of the Mike at the Movies episodes across Upgrade and Analog, so all of the films that we've watched, plus a couple of standalones that I've done, including My Cousin Vinny, which is a movie that I watched with Tiff and Marco Arment, go into a special feed called the Mike at the Movies feed, which has maybe my favorite artwork of anything ever. Jason Snell, the man in charge over at The Incomparable, he looks after this feed, and he has been very kind in that he will now be, on a weekly basis, I believe, uploading the Firefly episodes there. And the way that we do it is we leave the original episodes as they are for 30 days, and then after 30 days, the Firefly segment will be clipped out of the episode of Analog and put into the feed. So you'll be able to go there and listen later on if you just want to get those. But I recommend that as a feed to subscribe to in case you don't listen to all of the shows that I do. And I'm over the next couple of months, I have some pretty exciting, I think, special Mike at the Movies planned that will just be standalones that will only live in that feed. So I recommend subscribing now so you don't miss out. I'm looking at our links for this episode so far, Casey, and they're both just with things with my name in them, which is kind of funny to me.
Maybe we'll just
leave it that way. All right, so Shindig. So on my version, so again, I'm watching the iTunes version because you bought me something that I can't use, and then I wanted to surprise you, so I bought the iTunes copy. There's a voiceover from Mal at the beginning of this episode, which I've not heard before. Previously, the voiceovers have all been from Shepherd Book. And this voiceover, Mal is talking about the fact that there was a new galaxy created of terraformed Earths after Earth was dried up, and that the central planets tried to unify all of them, which was what started the war. So I'm getting more details as the episodes go on about what started all this mess. So I enjoy that. I enjoy that piecemealing of the lore. So we start off this episode in a bar. And the only reason I mention this is really just to say that virtual pool balls is a silly idea.
It really is.
It's a silly idea. That's too much. They shouldn't have done that. I think that was too much.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And something that struck me about it is that I think a lot of the special effects have actually aged reasonably well.
Yeah, I agree.
On this show. This was not good. Pew. I didn't think. Pew. Yeah, it was a little rough.
But
nevertheless, it starts in the bar, and I'm just going to kind of lay out what I think up front, and it's as just a general observation. I wrote very few notes on this episode, yet at the same time, I felt like this episode was full of a lot of character development, but only on a couple of characters. And I'll let you kind of take over and talk us through it. But it was striking to me how little I wrote down about this episode, despite quite enjoying it. You know, I enjoyed it enough that you would think I would have written tons of notes, but I actually just kind of sat back and let it wash over me. And I thought it was good, and we'll figure out what you think as you talk some more. But
I eschewed our convention, Casey, and I didn't give my opinions before I jumped in. What do you think? What do you think I thought about this episode?
I think you loved it because it was heavy on Inara and Malcolm, who I think are your two favorite characters, and that kind of relationship I think you really like. So I'm going to guess that you, well, maybe love is a strong word, but I'm going to guess you quite enjoyed it.
I really, really like this one a lot because Inara is so heavily focused. Because I love Inara's character, and I love everything about her role. Like, I'm so... anybody that's listened to these episodes so far is aware of my complete fascination with what a companion is. Like, I'm so... I don't know why I've latched onto this. I was talking to John Syracuse from WWDC, and he mentioned to me that one of the things that he finds peculiar and infuriating at points about the way that I talk about movies and TV is that I seem to get transfixed on specific things that seem to not be important in the grand scheme of things. I know exactly what he means. You know, like he talks about the way that, like, there are certain things that I will get annoyed about that I say take me out of a movie. And he doesn't understand why that will bother anyone, but it bothers me. I use the example that I use in this is Pulp Fiction. So I love Pulp Fiction except for one moment, and that moment is when John Travolta and Uma Thurman are sitting in a car, and she tells him to stop being a square, and she draws the square, and it draws the special effects square on the screen. I hate that. I hate that so much. Because there's no special effects like that in that movie. I don't know why they did it. I think it is a black mark on an otherwise almost perfect movie. It really annoys me so, so much. And I told this to John and he thought that I was crazy. So, you know, therefore proving the whole point that he was bringing up in the first place, I think. Anyway, but I am completely, focused. So much of my enjoyment in this show, for some reason, is learning about Inara's role in society, because it is so interesting. I've never seen like prostitution taken in this way in a show before. It's just a really, really interesting thing where I feel like I've seen a lot of the tropes that are used in Firefly in other shows, you know, like Piecemeal Out in other ways, right? Like, it's done in some different ways, and I like some of the ways that they deal with gender balance and stuff in the show, which I spoke about before. It can be really good in places. But this specific thing about the companion, I've never seen something like this before. So I'll jump right into that. Inara makes references that having a companion at the ball that they're going to be to is a, shows someone of a higher status than bringing a wife or girlfriend. It's like,
yeah, that's okay. Bananas.
Yeah, and I guess it's because of the money that it takes to hire a companion, or the social standing that you have to be able to, as again I found out in this episode, win the companion's affections, right? Like, you kind of, it reminded me of like those, the way that dating was done on the internet before the internet, where like you would create a tape, right? And you would, maybe the tapes would get sent around or something. I'm not 100% sure how that was, but I remember it from like TV shows when I was a kid. It's kind of like that, yeah. Where you would like do a video introduction of yourself and to the companion, and then if they want to choose you, then they will. Right? That's, I thought that was right. That was really interesting that they kind of have to sell themselves even after the companion relationship has been begun. They have to sell themselves to have the right to hire you for that period of time. And there is a guy by the name of Atherton who is convincing Inara to go to this ball with him. So the other thing that's going through this episode is like an argument between Mal and Kaylee. Like, he makes some unsavory comments about her. I don't remember the exact phrasing that he was using about they land in a town and she's wishing for like these fine clothes that she's seen. And he makes a comment about her, like a joke about her, and it really upsets her.
Yeah, I think he says
her.
Something like, you know, where would you wear that? You know, would you just be, you know, dancing around the engine room in this ridiculous dress? He says it, of course, in a much more clever way, but it was clearly deeply upsetting to Kaylee. And,
yeah.
You know, in many ways, I feel like she's the glue of the ship. Like, she kind of holds everyone together.
Well,
and
she's
so
the engine room, right, as well.
Well,
like,
that's,
you know,
true.
Physically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so if you upset the glue, if you upset Kaylee, then you've upset everyone. So this is not good.
And again, something I like about Kaylee's role in this show is that she has the most masculine job on the ship, right? Which is being down in the engine room. But yet she still appreciates dresses and nice clothing and luxury in her life. And I really like that mix about her where it's like she doesn't need to be one or the other. She can appreciate all of it. And this is really shown later on when she's at the ball in the nice dress that Mao ended up buying her because they need to sneak into the ball. It's kind of like his apology. And I guess the only way that Mao can apologize, right, to make a gesture rather than say how he feels. And she doesn't get on with a bunch of mean girls. But she ends up wooing the affections, kind of unintentionally, of a bunch of guys because of a knowledge about engines and spacecraft.
Yeah.
Right? And they're all having a great time. And it all looks like they're having fun. But these guys are, like, hanging off her every word because she is beautiful and she knows everything about engines, which I really enjoyed. So here's a question really I have for you, right? Mm-hmm. Back on the ship... Shepherd Book, Jane, and Dr. Tam are playing cards. Should a shepherd be gambling?
I never thought of that. Well, I'm trying to think of the least spoily way to discuss
don't,
this.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. It's fine. It's fine.
Let's just say it's an interesting point, and I will just say that this is... I wouldn't say it's entirely out of character for Shepherd, for Shepherd Book, and with time, you'll understand why I say that. But
I feel like I understand it to a point now because I've made many questions to try and understand what the faith is that he has and what it entails. Because, you know, he seems to have a good relationship with Inara when maybe he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. There are a few things. He lies, right? Like in the last episode, I think it was the last episode, he lies to the agent, or at least obfuscates the truth. There's definitely some question marks for me around what the religion is and what the role of a shepherd is and also what his character is that I haven't really gotten straight in my head yet. We move along and Mao is there because he's trying to win a space contract to haul some freight or some cargo. Turns out to be cows, which was a very WTF moment at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Just that one, that there are cows, and two, that they are this forbidden cargo and they're being taken in a spaceship. It's just all very weird. I'm sure this will come into play later on. Because it felt like that this was, I mean, again, you don't need to tell me this, but it felt like that the whole episode was setting up this thing and I thought it was going to get paid off, but it didn't, which is like the end of this contract. And so, I don't know, it feels like that might be something that passes over to another episode, but... We'll see. Right. We'll see.
Was it during this time that they talk about? I don't remember the context, but they talk about having. Oh, I think it's what is it? Basher, the bad guy that's kind of setting up the deal, was talking about how something about needing diamonds the size of a testicle, and I've got my hands on a couple.
Yeah.
And Mal and Jane just kind of like. And it took me a second. It's like, why are they laughing? I just thought it was a reasonable, what's the English term for that? Not analogy, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it was, I didn't even think twice about it. And then I look at them and they're just kind of like, and oh my God, I just lost it. I thought it was hysterical. Also around this time, you kind of brought this up earlier, but when Kaylee runs into the Mean Girls and an older gentleman comes up, was he the one that ended up engaging them in the transport, in the smuggling? Was it the same guy? Or was it a different guy?
I think you meant to think it's going to be that guy, but it isn't.
You're right. You're right. But he talks to the Mean Girls and kind of defends Kaylee. And he says something like, did it take your girls? He's talking to one of the Mean Girls. Did it take your girls, as in your servants or whatever, a long time to get you in that dress? Because my understanding is the space of a schoolboy's wink is all it takes to get you out of it. And I was like, oh, man, that was severe.
That was totally harsh. Savage. But a great line, though.
Yeah,
it's a great line.
What an unbelievably good line. But, oh, man, I was laughing. Both of those parts just made me laugh. There were several other, one-liners, especially with, Mal. And I just thought this episode was a really great, I probably said this over the last couple episodes, so maybe I'm just not recognizing that this is just the show. But I feel like this is a great kind of overview, a little light on the thieving and smuggling, all told. Those were kind of a red herring, but it was heavy on the character development and just the general humor and I think good writing and good dialogue that is common throughout the show.
Yeah, I mean, Mao is clearly showing some signs of jealousy when he's at the ball and seeing Inara and Atherton kind of dancing, and he talks to her at one point, and then Atherton says some stuff that is kind of unsavory about Inara and about kind of keeping her there. And I think she mentions at this point the fact that he has offered to for her to become his like personal companion, which means that she would move in with him. And like he would just pay her services forever, I think is what that probably means.
Such an odd arrangement, but yeah,
it doesn't. I feel like that they kind of didn't really flesh that out, like what the actual ramifications are of that. But so then Mal punches Atherton in the face, right. And there's a duel. There's going to be a duel, but the whilst Mal was originally excited about it, turns out the duel is going to be with swords. And he's not very well equipped for that. So he gets to stay overnight in these like these plush rooms that have been put on by Atherton because it's like he wants the fight to be fair. Because it seems like that there is like not so much a by challenging to the duel that you will want to necessarily win the duel, but you actually want to have the duel and you want the duel to be right. Which is an interesting way of doing it, and I like there's Inara basically sneaks into Mal's room to try and help train him up so he doesn't die, right? Because someone's gonna die, like that's the way these things go. And there's at one point Mal says, "I never back down from a fight," and Inara's like, "Yes, you do," but like he's not backing down from this one. Sure. And it goes. We go back to the ship and the rest of the crew.
Well, hold on. If you don't mind me interrupting, and I'm sorry, but one of the things that I really liked about this episode, which maybe it's later on, and I shouldn't have interrupted, but at some point, Mal and Inara have a conversation about their respective professions, and I forget exactly how it's phrased, but it's something along the lines of like, well, my work isn't legal, but it's honest, says Mal, and then you know Inara's complaint, which I think. Came before that was that, you know, hey, I do legal work, even if it's a little morally shady, even though I guess it really isn't in this world. But you know what I mean? It's like a yin and yang between the two of them that I thought was very fascinating. And I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact wording, but the way it is phrased is good.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's worth noting that around this time comes the line from Mal, "I have to use a schwat." Because she's like, "You have to use a sword." She's like, "You have to use a what?" And I don't know, the way Nathan Fillion plays it off is just so much better than me. It's so funny. I thought that whole exchange was interesting. So anyway, we're back on the ship. I apologize.
Yeah, because the rest of the crew is kind of hung around, and they decide that they need to go and save Mal. But then Badger, he shows up. I'm not 100% remember why he shows up. But like what that's meant to like what that he's gaining from it, I don't really think it's important. But the only reason I bring this up is to say that there is a scene where River appears, and that everyone's concerned that she's going to kind of get the game away, and then she puts on a Cockney accent to talk to Badger.
That was
and kind
Cockney?
Of tricks him.
Oh,
okay. So
I couldn't...
what she is attempting is Cockney because that's what. Badger has a Cockney accent, and the words that she is saying are kind of traditional Cockney-like words, but it's terrible. It's so bad.
Oh,
it's
really?
The accent.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Is horrific. It's not even a good
perfect.
British accent, and it is.
Oh,
a
I thought it was perfect.
No, it is a truly terrible Cockney accent. So,
now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to argue with you. Like, if you say it's terrible, then that's it. The discussion's over. It's terrible. I am not the arbiter of such things. It's just, it's funny to me because my ignorant American years were like, wow, that was flawless. And I actually thought she was Irish in that context, but that's okay. I guess what that was more about me being an ignorant American more than it was Summer Glau doing a bad accent. But that's disappointing because I genuinely thought that it was a really, really, really good impersonation. And you're telling me not so much?
No, it wasn't good at all. I mean, so I would say like, that is the area of London that I grew up in. It's an accent that I know intimately. It's an accent I used to have a lot more than I do now. And it wasn't good. It just wasn't good. Well, you thought she was Irish. Where do you think Badger's from?
Oh, I thought the same. Whatever.
Okay,
well, I thought she was trying to match him, and I think that's pretty obvious given the context. But
they're both attempting to be Cockneys. But Badger, I think the person that plays Badger is English because he does a better job. He does a very good job, actually. So I'm assuming that person is either English or is just better at that specific accent.
Well, that bums me out a little bit, but I thought it was good, and I'm sticking with that.
As CG said in the chat room, if you want to be very disappointed, the cruise Mandarin is not great. Which I assumed it wasn't
not
very good.
Surprising at all. All right. So yeah, so the crew's on the ship kind of trying to figure out, well, should we do anything and try to rescue Mal or just kind of let it play out? And it's kind of funny watching them kind of go back and forth and try to figure out. By the way, Mark Shepherd is the actor. He is from London, real-time follow-up. So anyway, so they're trying to figure out, should they try to rescue him? What should they do? Blah, blah, blah. And it's funny kind of hearing them go back and forth, yet take pretty much no action at the same time.
So Mal doesn't want Inara to leave the kind of the quarters for whatever reason. And Inara also turns out to be a pretty awesome sword fighter, and she helps train him up for the duel, which is the next morning. And Mal is not good. He's not good at fighting. And he gets stabbed a couple of times. He loses his sword. Like, it's not going well. So basically, Inara distracts Atherton, and then Mal ends up winning, but he won't kill Atherton, and although he does poke him with a sword a few times, which is funny.
Yeah, because what does he say? Yeah, he's like, it's the mark of a great man, or mercy is the mark of a great man, stab. Maybe a good man, stab. Well, I'm all right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Classic Mal.
And the guy that he's taking the job from is there. He's at the duel. He's like officiating the duel. And he's like, oh, if you don't kill him, it's a fate worse than death, because he will have no respect. He loses all of his honor. And Mal's like, yeah, that's good. And then this is something that I really liked, right? Again, so this is one of the other things, one of the other key things here for me in Inara's kind of like social standing. So Atherton screams after her and is like, no one's ever gonna want your services again, like, I'll see to this. And then she's like, yeah, well, you've just earned yourself a black mark in the client registry.
Yep.
So she can do more damage to him than he can do to her.
Right. And then was it the guy who's giving, eventually it ends up giving Mal all the cows? Doesn't he say something like, now you're only going to get a woman by your charm and good graces or good wit, yeah, or something like that? Yeah. Good luck. Uh-huh. Something along those lines, which I thought was really funny. Yeah, I thought it was a really great episode, and I really enjoyed it. I think part of the reason I enjoyed it so much is because I did think it was so funny. And as I mentioned before, so many great one-liners and kind of punchlines, and I just thought it was handled well, and it gave enough development, as I've mentioned a couple of times, both in the world and the characters, that it kept me interested, even though in the grand scheme of things, like, not that much happened this episode. Like, there wasn't any big heist or anything like that. There wasn't any really big, like, fight. I mean, obviously the thing with Mal and Atherton was a fight, but I mean, we all knew how that was going to turn out. There's no way that the lead character is going to die. So I thought it was good, even despite on paper it not looking like it should have been a good episode.
I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, it was really good. So that was it. That was episode, what was it, number four? Episode number four of Firefly. So next time, episode number five.
Yeah, which, as I go to the right tab, is called Safe.
Great.
I don't remember that one. The following one, though, is very interesting. I just don't remember Safe one way or the other. I couldn't tell you if it's good or bad. But the following one is a very interesting one. I'm very curious to hear what you think of that one. All right, Mike. Until next time.
Until next time, Casey Les.